One of the saddest days that I've had in a long time was the day that I found out that the Kim Son Vietnamese restaurant was closing forever. And that was, you know, it was before the coronavirus thing. So this was right. like normal life sad. Now there's lots of sad things all the time. But this was like normal life sad.
Right, right.
Like a player you really love gets traded off your baseball team or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's normal life sad.
Right.
But the Kim Son Vietnamese restaurant getting closed was a terrible thing. But one thing that I did not do in response to that was like I didn't start learning how to cook Vietnamese food. And like buy my own like egg roll ingredients and stuff like that to replace that thing in my heart. But that's something that I love about you is that when your favorite bagel place in Oak Ridge closed, you started learning how to cook bagels.
I don't know if that's a good thing or if that was a just a slight on my character, like, or like a negative of my personality.
You're saying that I'm saying something negative about you?
No, I'm saying I don't know if it may have been a negative thing about me, but that I decided if I can't get the ones I want, then I'm just going to go ahead and make them.
I think it's amazing. I'm like ready for your business to open.
Mm.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Are your bagels good?
Yeah, they're not like the first batch was pretty good. This one I made this weekend was good. And I figured, but there's one more thing I need to do. And I think they'll be like, okay, this is good. I've liked both batches.
Yeah.
The first batch I did, I made I made everything bagels. And then we made breakfast bagels with them. So like sausage and Swiss and egg and stuff.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. It was good, man. It really was.
Oh my gosh.
But like I did a couple things wrong with it. This one I figured out, like the problem with it was the first, are we, this is going to bore a ton of people, but like,
no, go.
The first batch I did, it took me 3.5 hours because of proofing the dough. I've never done anything. I've never made any type of bread from scratch. So my head was spinning. This time I remembered everything and like, I actually like made my dough the night before and let it rest overnight in the fridge. So like that thing took forever last time because it took me forever to make it and then all that. But anyways, I made the dough Friday night this week, which took me, you know,
all night.
Well, it takes 15 minutes, 20 minutes to like, well, it's probably 30 minutes because you have to let the yeast activate. Then you've got to mix, you got to knead the dough, which that's
so
15
cool.
minutes a piece. And then you got to wait an hour for it to proof. So you just right. let it sit for an hour and then it doubles in size. And then I put it in the fridge after that. And then I got up in the morning, punched it down, you know, cause it doubles in size, punched it yeah. down, got the air out. And then I divided it into 7 equal pieces. Then you let it proof again after you form it into balls. And then I'm not going to tell the rest of my secrets because I don't need anybody else making this. This is me.
Yeah, how are you going to make this business work if you tell everybody how it's going? Well, the thing that I need our audience members to know, and some people know this, some people who know you well know this. One of the things that made you a great baseball player was that you like were able to perfectly mimic your favorite player's swing. And like you just did an impersonation until you became a great hitter. Mm. And so the thing about this is like, you need to mimic the things about hot bagel bagels that are delicious and not any of the things that cost a customer to that establishment aside from the money they pay. Because there's a cost to getting a hot bagel.
Mm.
You're gonna get talked to about things you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
So I need you to not pick that up.
Right. I know. I just like I was so sad. Like I, my plan was to get up Saturday morning and deliver bagels to some people.
Yeah.
Like, I had it planned out, and then it couldn't happen. I couldn't make it happen. But I'm hoping that'll happen soon. I kind of just like want it to be a thing where it's like, oh, here's the guy who leaves bagels on the stoop.
Can you call your business Bagel Boy?
Bagel. Isn't that like a Baptist thing? Or was it the Donut Man or something? I don't know. Wasn't there like a little TV show or something?
I don't think.
If anybody remembers Baptist that, and they
cornered the market on bagels.
Well, it was like Bagel Man or something like that. I don't know. I very
no, that was Bible Man.
No, there was a bagel or like a donut guy. Someone needs to remind me of this.
You are totally thinking of Bible Man.
I'm not. I promise, because he was a donut. He was shaped like a donut.
Did your parents make you watch Bible Man though?
No, I don't know what that was.
That's
thank goodness.
That was rough. That was a rough part of Christian history. Not usually covered in seminary classes, usually kind of ignored. Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a Bible study podcast. It's also apparently a bakery podcast.
I mean, honestly, I cannot stop watching The Great British Bake Off. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
We have
Great
watched...
British Baking Show?
Great British Baking Show. Maddie and I haven't really left the house this weekend. We've just kind of chilled. It's been awesome. But like yesterday we watched like 5 hours straight of it. It's unbelievable. It's so good. Where the heck have I been? You know?
So kind.
It's so kind. It's so they kind. Hug the people who get voted out.
You should call your business the Big Head Bagel Boy.
Okay, I do have a big head. We didn't have to venture down that path.
The logo could be like this tiny body with this huge head with a big smile on it. Just holding bagels
just
out.
Just get Tom to draw a picture of me.
Yes. Yeah, since he did Big Ed.
Yeah.
You know?
That needs to be shared with more of the world. I feel like I've told everyone I've met in the last few months, hey, my pastor drew the Big Ed drawing and just remembered it. That's the thing. Like I can't get my head around. Later. He's like, wait a second, I drew that.
It's like 40 years later, wait a minute, this drawing that I see every single day, I think I did
right.
that.
You, he is like the only, well, you too, actually. Like when you, to go to the church, you all take, that's like Broadway or something like that road?
Yeah, Broadway. Absolutely. Of course.
Yeah.
Because there's no lights and your left turn is going to be not a light.
Yeah.
It just makes sense.
Yeah, but I would say nine times out of 10, I beat him. Like, and I'll be like, okay, I know he's going that way. I'm going to go this way.
That's just because you drive faster than he does.
I know. I drive recklessly. Not really. I'm a good driver. Knock on wood.
Do you want to kick us off today? We're going to talk about some scriptures that have been important to us or grabbing our attention or challenging us or whatever. You want to start us?
Yeah. Okay. So this has been cool. I have kind of started a new thing a little bit just this week a little bit with scripture. And like, I think I've realized lately I don't know, I don't want to miss out on the way I do. I like the way I do my quiet time. I like what I get from it. I like what the Lord shows me in it. I also think it causes me to miss out on like studying scripture. Like I don't do a ton of study when I'm reading it first thing in the morning. And
no, your method is the butterfly net method.
Yeah.
You're looking for something extremely specific, and so everything else, you allow yourself to miss a lot of things. It's the grocery list method. Method. There's a million things in the grocery store, but I'm looking for these four things.
Right, which is on my list. Great. And like, I've had a lot of time this weekend, and one thing I do, I have learned, like, my Saturday and Sunday quiet times are different. I've said that on here before, but I've like purposely made them different, especially during COVID, just because like. You've said this to me before, but I've never had a Sunday since I started being on the worship team. So in 2014 or 15, where I've gotten to sleep past, you know, because in college I was waking up at, 6:45 on Sunday to read, have coffee, and be in Oak Ridge at 8:15, you know?
Right.
And then when I started working in the church, it was the same thing, but I lived in Oak Ridge, you know, I get up at 6:45. Now it's like, I can get up at 9 o'clock and I am on time for church at 10:45, you know, which is, it's honestly, it's kind of nice, but like.
Yeah. And you can go to church in your underwear.
I know. And I
deeply, it's in your living room.
I deeply miss our worship practices though, because I just love, I have so much fun with Mark Vowell. It's not even funny.
Like, you just love making fun of Mark Vowell.
We
so
just
much.
Mess around. It's so fun. But it has been cool because it's like my Saturdays and Sunday morning quiet times have been, I've put away my journal form and I've just read and I've read slowly and I've reread and it's been fun because normally I fill up 2.5 pages in a journal every morning.
And right.
It's been cool to say, I'm going to put my pen away. I'm going to sit outside on my deck, and I'm just going to talk to God verbally. Because normally the way I do it, I will journal in the morning. I'll write out my prayers. I'll write out what I'm getting from Scripture. And then I've got a 30-minute drive to work where I pretty much devoted that to, I'm going to sing a little bit, and I'm going to talk to God the whole way. And I'm going to ask him questions, and I'm going to listen, and I'm going to say things. And which has been sweet. It's been like one thing I have really loved about working in Knoxville. Just, you know, I can't say that because it's going to be recorded. So I'm not going to say anything bad about my job, but I do love that I have an hour commute, and like usually on the way home, I'm talking on the phone with someone. It's great. And, but I have like realized I have missed in all of that. I have missed a time where I like devote myself to studying Scripture outside of, what I just get in the morning. And it's been cool to have, I like kind of changed my attitude on that this past week or so. And I've said, like, I've kind of like, on top of like, one of the questions I'm asking myself now in the morning is, what, you know, what is the Lord teaching me out of this? What do I need out of this today? Like the normal thing, the butterfly net. And then also another, what, like, what is this? What is this saying? What is this whole thing you just read about? What is Paul saying? What is David saying? What is whoever saying?
What was the context in which this was written?
What was the
cultural moment, the situation?
Right. And I, so it's been a good time to start that because I'm in Romans, and that's just, golly, it's like someone threw a fillet. You know, they just threw a rack of ribs down. They're like, here's all your meat, man. Because it's awesome, and it's so good, and it's so rich. And I guess this morning I was in Romans 5. And the thing I loved, though, is it paired up with a spot in where also I was reading in Psalm 15, which was super cool. So anyways, I'm just going to read this. This is, and like I could go into detail about the amazingness of Romans 5. Like it is awesome. It is rich. It is talking about grace and righteousness and the fact that Jesus would die for us even though we sucked and he knew it. You know, it was like, it was just, it's so cool. It's just
that was a nice little paraphrase of Romans 5.
I know, right. I gave like a sermon in the park on Wednesday, and I said the word sucked so loud, and I was like, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. Like, is that a thing that I can say in the middle of a sermon? Like, I felt really bad about it. But anyways, I'm going to start in 19. It says, or 18, sorry. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man that many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The one thing that, like, one, a lot of things stood out to me in that when I read that this morning. And the one thing I loved was the idea that grace reigns now because of what Jesus did. I just thought,
wow,
that's so a great sentence. Stinking cool. Like, I finished, I actually did write in my journal today, and like the last thing I wrote was grace reigns. And I was like, man, I want to tattoo that on my forehead. But I also just like had a rich, just grace reigns. My wife and one of her best friends, Erica Mason, were in a store the other day, and they turned a corner and a lady had the number 666 tattooed across her forehead.
You are joking.
I'm not. And Maddie, it was like the first thing Maddie said to me when I got home. She was like, I just saw a lady do this. And I was like, oh, that scares the crap out of me. If you're a listener, thank you for listening.
Pui. Yeah, that's rough.
But it just grabbed me that like, because of what Jesus did, I am considered righteous. And that is so stinking cool. And the way the 1 year Bible works is you get Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm, Proverb. Yep. So I read this, and then the next thing I had to read was Psalm 15. And it starts off with, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? And then it says, he whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous. And then it goes on and like lists some more things. And it ends up by saying, he who does these things will never be shaken. And I just love that because it says, he who does what is righteous. And I was like, time out. That's me. I'm righteous because of what Jesus did. So
that's right.
That is awesome. And it says, I can dwell in his sanctuary. I can live in his holy hill. And I will never be shaken because I'm righteous because of what Jesus did for me. And it was such a cool, like, it's an awesome thing when you read something that connects across scripture.
Yeah,
like, totally. You know, and I don't know. It was such a sweet little thing to read. And I've had a few moments like that lately where I was reading through Chronicles the other day, and you know, it's just listing off people after people and family lines after family lines. And it lists off the one that has like David in it. And it, you know, it starts going through like, you know, like the lineage of Jesus. And I was like, wait, where have I read this before? And it's like, oh wait, that's from the book of Matthew. Yeah. And
right.
I started singing it, you know, I started singing the names because of Andrew Peterson.
Did you do the impersonation?
Abraham had Isaac. But
you haven't sung on here in a long time.
It's been
on
a while.
Show.
That used to be a thing. That was like 2018 probably.
Yeah.
But anyways, I was just so, I got overwhelmed this morning thinking about grace reigning and the fact that I'm considered righteous and what that
I think
means.
That,
you know, it's so cool.
I think that there's, the honest person would find Psalm 15 to be a place of despair.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Because it all the things it says, like there's no lying on his lips and there's no deceit in his heart. You know, it's just, you're just like, who are you describing? Right. There's nobody like that.
It keeps an oath even when it hurts. It's like, wow. Who lends his money without usury? I don't know. We've done this one before
usury,
because I couldn't say that word. I remember.
Insurance, yeah.
It doesn't accept a bribe against the innocent. Just like,
yeah.
Man. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just, that's a despairing, that's a scripture that would bring despair to an honest person until Jesus comes and then creates a new avenue for becoming righteous.
Right. It's so
being
cool.
Declared righteous. Awesome. I love that. I want to read one verse from Luke chapter 11.
One verse.
And it's down in the 40s. And this is, Luke chapter 11 is one of those places where Jesus is like locking horns with the Pharisees and he's going off on them about stuff. It's, you know, it's part of the passage where he says to them, you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, he's waylaying these dudes. And I've done this before on this podcast where like I've taken like a negative thing that Jesus said to someone who was opposed to him, and I flipped it the other way about myself. Like when Jesus said, you know, I would have gathered you like chicks under my wing, you know, as a hen, as a mother hen does, but you didn't want it. And I've been like, oh man, it's so encouraging to me that I would be able to say to Jesus, I want it. I want to be one of those little chicks, you know? And so at the end of this little spiel where Jesus is going off on these guys, in this one particular piece of it, verse 44, Jesus says this, woe to you, which, dang, when Jesus says woe to you, that's bad. Sheesh. But woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which people walk over without even knowing it. And that just halted me. When I read it, I was just like, what if I'm like that? Like, what if what's inside me is so dead that like people are like, when people are around me, they're hanging out with a dead person. They don't even know it, you know? And like, you know, just the idea that like before we sold our old house, like almost 12 years ago, we had a pet who died there. And, and actually Tom buried our dog in our backyard for us. And just because my wife was crying and I was holding her, and it was like in the middle of a thunderstorm. I'll never forget that moment. But Tom was like digging this grave and we buried our pet there. And then like we didn't disclose that to the family that like bought our house from us. Right. You know, we didn't like mark a grave. And so like anybody that plays out there, it's like there's an unmarked grave back there. I mean, it's for a little dog, you know, but like just the idea that somebody would be so dead inside that people hanging out with them are hanging out with a dead person. They don't know it. And so like, you know, I spent like a requisite amount of time just looking at myself and just thinking like, where is this, you know, where is this true of me and everything? And then I did what I've been doing lately with some of these like super negative scriptures, which is I flip them around and say, wait a minute, what would it be like to be somebody who's so alive that people know it? Like they just like, it's when they're around you, it's new. It's like they're around dead people all the time. And then when they're around you, they're like, there is something fresh in you and there is something new in you. And I'm not saying that I'm that kind of person because I don't think that I am. Like my natural temperament is not like that. And so if that's going to be something that I attain or grow into, it's going to be an uphill climb. It's going to be a work of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be all those things. It's going to be like diligence and grace and all kinds of stuff. But I was just so attracted to the idea of being so alive, like just so undeniably alive, like satisfied when everybody else is complaining and like, full when other people are wanting more all the time. And like just joyful when people are freaking out, you know, and there's so many places this could go. And there's so many ways in which I'm not that kind of person. And yet there have been moments in my life where somebody has said to me, like, there was something about you that, that was different or whatever, or, you know, and honestly, I think for me personally, most of that stuff has to do with my wife. Like people say that to me about my marriage. They'll say like, you know, when I'm around, you and Christy, there's something about y'all's relationship that I haven't seen other places. So I'm like, I'll take it, you know, even though that's like mostly her, I'm like, I'll take it. But I love this idea of being the opposite of what the Pharisees were. They were so dead inside that people didn't even, it's like they were walking on unmarked graves. But what if you could be a person who was so utterly and undeniably alive that people get around you and they're like, whoa, that's what life looks like. That's what living is. I love the concept that eternal life starts now. Like your eternal life starts when you meet Jesus. So like I'm living a poor reflection of it, just a dim version of it, but like I'm already living my eternal life in some ways. And like I want to tap into that. I want to grow into that. I want to become a person who's so utterly alive that like that people are just undeniably like, this is what living looks like.
I think I'm sad that you don't see that in yourself, I guess. I mean, you do, but like, I'm like, sheesh. Like,
we probably see ourselves the worst.
Let me be the one who tells you that. Like,
well,
I mean, I've been friends with you for ages since I was, like, my first memory of you. All right, this could be messed up based on hindsight bias, but I think like. I think if I remember correctly, there was a Triple C high school thing swimming in my parents' pool. And I was throwing football with Joe. And like,
dude, was that the day Jake like hurt his feet?
Yeah, he couldn't walk. And he like drowned. Yeah. He drank so much water, my dog drowned. He made it, but he was like almost dead.
This is a sad episode about pets.
Yeah, but like, I remember it and the football was too big for me and the ball was wet because we were in a pool and it slipped out of my hand. I hit you in the face and I'll never forget it. But like, I remember being an eighth grader and being invited by you to Bible study in high school. And like, I know I've told Maddie like multiple times, I feel like over the past few weeks, like reasons why I love you and Tom and Potsy and like reasons why you're so important to me. And you know, the main one is like, is that like, golly, I've just been I don't know. I've had grown men in my life who are just so different than any other grown man ever. And I, you know, I have a sweet dad who's been kind to me my whole life. And I still have, I also have three grown men who are radiant. And I have just been like a magnet to, you know, and thankfully y'all have just been like, come on, come hang out with me. And it's because that is true of you, because you are not an unmarked grave, because you're the opposite of that. You know,
it's funny. I don't remember the football thing, but I'm glad to hear that. Hopefully that I responded to that well, but like, it's very kind. Thank you for saying that stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that other people are able to see things in us that we don't see in ourselves. But you know, when I read that and then I flipped it, which is just, it's just a thing I'm doing with certain scriptures. I'm just flipping them. And when I flipped it, it was just a thing of like, oh man, let us endeavor to discover what it means to truly live.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way that it is undeniable that we have the eternal life of Jesus Christ. There's a place where Jesus says that eternal life is knowing the Father and knowing Jesus Christ. You know, it's like let that be the thing.
Right.
You know, I think about Paul saying in the book of Philippians, I want to know Christ.
Right, right. Yeah, it's so cool. It's like, you know, Philippians 3, it's like, who is Paul? You know, it kind of feels like it's what he's saying. Like, who, like Paul describing who he is. And like, that's, like if you were to ask Paul, who are you? What do you want to be known for? His thing is, I want to know Jesus. That's what I want to be known for, you know? Like,
that's
for knowing Jesus. And I think that's so cool. And oh man, that's sweet. That's a good thought, man. I like that a lot. That's going to help me this week.
Sweet. The thing that's going to help me this week is if on Saturday I realized that at a certain point there was a Big Head Boy blueberry bagel chilling on the front porch.
Hey man,
I don't think that's what you're going to call the company, but
well, Lord willing, Saturday I'll be in Chattanooga for.
Oh, that's right.
Our friend's wedding, but maybe.
Wow.
Maybe next week.
Blessings.
I know, you're a sesame bagel guy, though.
I am a sesame bagel guy. I love a sesame bagel. I love a sesame bagel with like sausage and egg and provolone.
I figured out, like, I'm so close to having exactly where I want them to, and I just need to do one more thing. And I'm really excited about it. You don't like cream cheese, do you?
No.
Okay, I assume so, because if y'all know this, Lee doesn't do condiments of any kind.
No condiments of any kind. Not even flavored chips.
Yeah, he's a very yeah. Do you think your palate's changed on any of that stuff and you just haven't worked it?
Not on condiments.
But like, how do you know? You know? I'm a give me all the condiments, man.
Load just
me
being an instigator up. Right now.
No, just load me up. I've also learned in the, because we've spent a lot of time with Jeff and Erica, like my wife and Jeffrey are very similar. They're both very good instigating, and they have different styles. Like Jeffrey is very much a drop a frag grenade and sneak away and hide and watch and see what happens. But my wife does it too. She does it in a different way. And it's so funny. Yeah. We've had a lot of moments lately where one of them has said, like, Jeffrey will say something and Maddie and I will look at each other because it's like, I've heard that come out of your mouth before.
That's
and it's so funny. Just a funny little inside joke that we have that now is shared with 12 other people who listen to our podcast.
The 12 other people. We love you guys. We're super thankful for you.
Thank you.
And I'm Lee.
And I'm Thomas.
The Bagel Boy.
The Bagel Boy.
And this has been Ancient and New.
Lee.
I could pick 100 pockets, put your picture in a locket, hold open every door or slam them in your face. I could put it on the table, flick the finger in the middle. I could show you I'm unstable or offer up some grace. But not with these hands, not with these hands. Hands, not with these hands could I fix my own heart. No, not with these hands, not with these. hands. No, not with these hands could I fix my own heart. I could hail down a taxi, touch your arm in the backseat. I could point out exactly where you wanna go. I could comfort you in sadness or enable you to madness. I could teach the masterclass on pissing people off. But not with these hands, not with these hands, not with these hands could I fix my own heart. I'm not done yet, unless you're having fun.